truth for us Christians. I believe it's written to the church, written to the Gentiles here for us to take heed of, for us to learn more of the Lord. And Ephesians chapter 4, if you will, we're going to read starting in verse 7 and read through verse 16 together, verse 7 through 16. And if you have your Bibles, follow along with them, if you will. There's some great instructions, some great truths in God's Word that we all need to hear. We are approaching a new year. This is the last service for 2010. And I thought about what should be preached, what should be taught on this Wednesday evening Bible study. And God's given us something here at Open Door Independent Baptist Church. We're the only independent fundamental Baptist church in Marin County. In fact, you've got to drive 45 minutes just to get to the next independent Baptist church. God's given us something very special here. We've talked to a lot of other pastors, a lot of other church members, and it encouraged my heart. I talked to one this past week, and she don't come here. She goes to another church, and she said, "I'm sick and tired of what's going on in our church." She said, "Members is letting down standards, and members is losing conviction, and wanting the world to come in, to please the world, to get more people in." Thank God we've got something here that, my friend, that should be pleasing the Lord. And we're trying to put God first. We're trying to keep Christ as the center of what we do here at Open Door. And let's look here, if you would, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 7. The Bible says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and combated by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." I want you to notice what the Bible says. It's not what we're going to preach out of tonight, but it's something that we're going to take for next year, verse 15. The Bible says, "But speaking the truth in love." Speaking the truth in love. Last year, well, this year here, 2010, our theme for this year was reclaiming what's been forgotten. A lot of things has been forgotten that we need to put back into our lives and get back into our families and get back into our church. But what's the one thing we need to do next year? I believe what we need to do next year is speak the truth. My friend, we have the truth in God's Word. The truth is God's Word. And we should be determined in our hearts that we're not going to be afraid of the truth. Whatever God says, that's how we're going to live, and that's how we're going to believe, and that's going to be our standards. But our standards, our convictions, need to be deeply rooted in the compassion of Christ. My friend, we can have all kind of convictions. We can have all kind of standards. But if you can't find them in God's Word, they're not going to do one person one bit of good. Our conviction, our standards, needs to be so deeply rooted in the compassion of Christ that when we speak with love. Now, there's time of reproving. There's time for correction. There's time for exhorting. But we need to use God's Word to do all that. And the Bible says here, speaking the truth in love. When we go visiting, when we go witnessing, we speak the truth. We tell them. We tell those men and women that's going to die and go to hell because they're lost, that they need to be saved. Now, we don't kick the door in and tell them they need to get rid of all their beer and liquor and pornography and all those things to go to heaven. We don't tell them they need to straighten up and do right to go to heaven. We tell them the truth that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die so they can have a way to escape the damnation of hell and go to a wonderful place called heaven. And we need to speak the truth with love and compassion. I think about one of the most scathing messages I've heard Jesus Christ speak in the Bible. He called people fools. He called them hypocrites. He called them blind. He called them leaders of the blind. He called them hypocrites. He called them all kinds of things and preached to them. And when he preached to them, he was in their faces preaching the Word of God. And then he left there and cried, because they wouldn't heed to his preaching. speaking the truth in love. But tonight, I want you to look at this verse in verse 12. And notice what it says here. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Lord willing, by the Spirit of God, I want to try to preach tonight. What is our ministry? What is our ministry here at Open Door Independent Baptist Church? Is it just a building with four walls? We come and meet three times a week, four times a week, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, and prayer meeting on Saturday nights. Is it just a place we come and gather together to see what people's wearing and see what's going on in people's life? My friend, God's given us a ministry here. And if you're part of our church, if you're part of the membership of Open Door Independent Baptist Church, you're a part of this ministry. You've got part of this ministry. As my hand is part of my body, as my arm cannot function without the body, and my body cannot function without the arm or without the hand. My friend, if you're here tonight and you're saved by God's grace, been baptized and joined this church, you're a part of this ministry and you belong to this church, my friend, and there's something God's given all of us to do. God's given us a ministry here. And I'm looking around tonight. I knew certain people was going to be here. I knew the children's church workers were going to be here. I knew all the Sunday school teachers were going to be here tonight. I knew most of the ushers and most of the trustees and most of the key people in our church. You look around. On Christmas Sunday, we had almost about 170 people in our church services. 170 people almost fill up every pew we had. And look here tonight, we've got just a handful of people who's the backbone, who's the key leaders of Open Door Independent Baptist Church. Most of you sing in the choir, teach Sunday school class, or drive the bus, or have some major role in this church. And my friend, what is the ministry of Open Door? I want you to see what the Bible says about ministry before we see what our ministry is. You don't have to turn to these places. I want you just to listen for a little bit. Let me read these verses to you. The Bible says in Acts chapter 6, in verse 4, but we would give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Here the apostles, the disciples of Christ said, hey, we'll continually give ourselves to prayer. I believe everything needs to be preceded by prayer. My friend, when you get up in the morning, pray. Before you go to work, pray. Before you come to church, pray. Before you do anything for God, you have time of prayer. These men can tell you, my wife can tell you, we meet on Tuesday evenings. We meet here about 6:30 or 6:35, and we have just a time of fellowship where we talk for just a few minutes, and then we have prayer. And we go to people's houses after we pray and try to win them to the Lord. We meet here on Wednesday evening for Bible study and we pray. I don't know how many times we've already prayed tonight, but we prayed. On Sunday mornings, we pray for Sunday school class twice. And after we get through with the Sunday school lesson, we'll pray again. We'll pray in the men's prayer room. We'll pray when we come out here. After we sing a song, we'll pray. We'll pray for the offering. We'll pray for the preaching. We'll pray for the invitation. We'll pray after the invitation. My friend, we need to get in a routine of just praying for everything. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And all things give thanks, my friend. We just need to pray for everything and all things. You don't know what's going on in people's lives, in people's homes, and people's families. And you can't be there every minute of the day, but your prayers can. You can pray. You can ask God for protection. You can ask God for safety. The Bible says here that they gave themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word of God. My friend, what we find in God's Word is what we need to give ourselves to. What we find, and we all in the ministry tonight, my friend, you don't have to be just a pastor or to be a deacon or a trustee or a Sunday school teacher to be part of the ministry here at Open Door. If you're saved by God's grace, hey, God's placed you in the ministry. God's given you something to do. It's not just to sit on your backside and take up place, to take up space, to take up air. Just to take up God's given benefits in your life. God's saved us all to do something. I don't care for that book, A Purpose-Driven Life. If you want to read a book that's going to give you purpose, you read the Bible. It'll give you a reason to live for Christ. It'll give you a reason, my friend, to act right and dress right and talk right and to look right and live for Jesus Christ if you read the precious Word of God. But the Bible says they gave themselves to the ministry. But they would be a blessing if we have people just give themselves to the ministry. I'm not talking about to myself. I'm not talking about give yourself to this church. I'm just talking about give yourself to what God has saved you to do. God saved us to do something. We ought to give ourselves to it. Not only that, but they also said here in Acts chapter 20, let me read this for you in Acts chapter 20. I believe it's verse 24. The Bible says, but none of these things move me, neither can I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Here Paul says, I want to finish my course with joy, and I want to finish the ministry that God has given me to do. I want to finish tonight, don't you? I want to finish. I told my wife earlier, we know about Brother Fred. He passed away, and somebody else has passed away, and another person has passed away, and we just heard today that another person that we know, her daddy passed away. There's so many people passing away. When my time comes, I want to finish the ministry. I want to finish the job. I want to run my course. I want to run my race and finish what God's given me to do. And here the Apostle Paul says, hey, I'm going to finish with joy, and I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to finish the ministry that God has placed in me to do. Notice this, if you will, in 2 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. I want you to stay right where you're at so you know where I'm going. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Boy, that's a good verse there. Paul says, hey, I'm not going to do one thing to mess up the ministry. I'm not going to do one thing to mess up what God has bestowed upon me to do. What is our ministry? What has God given us to do here at Open Door Independent Baptist Church? Hey, God's given us something to do. But before we can do it, we have to realize what the Bible says about it, that we should not, my friend, engage in anything that's going to mess up the ministry that God has here at Open Door. And we should give ourselves continually to the ministry of God, give ourselves over to God. And the Bible says here, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 5, let me read it for you. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof thy ministry. The Bible says, make full proof thy ministry. I asked my wife just for a little bit of help on this message. I said, what does it mean to you when I say it's full proof? And she said, it means it's complete, without error, without any kind of problems. It's full proof. You know what the Lord says? He says, make your ministry full proof. Make your ministry without error, without blemish, without spot. Make your ministry perfect. How are we going to do that? Turn to 1 Timothy, if you will. Save your place there in Ephesians. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to notice what the Bible says, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll begin reading verse 11 and read through the remainder of the chapter. But how do you make your ministry foolproof? How do I stand in the pulpit and preach and have the ministry foolproof? How do we send out missionaries to go into the world and their ministry stay foolproof? How do we do what God wants us to do without any blemishes or spots? Notice what the Bible says here, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Well, if we can get verse 12 down, we'll be all right. That is what it says again. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. We should be an example of the believers. An example to the believers, an example to the church. In word, what we read in God's word we should have in our lives. In our conversation, in our lifestyle. Not just living on Sunday morning, but living all through the week. Notice what else it says, in charity. That word charity means love for the brother. We ought to love each other. Instead of backbiting, instead of gossiping, instead of hating each other, we should be lovers of each other. The Bible says, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance unto reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the presbytery, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. It says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly unto them, that the profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's how you make your ministry foolproof. You live a life according to the Bible every day of the week. My friend, you live according to the Word of God every day of the week. You have purity, you have charity, you have faith, you have all these things because you're looking diligently to the Word of God to be your roadmap for life. The Bible says much about our ministry, that it should be blameless. That we should be engaged in the ministry. We should give ourselves to the ministry. You know what I'm going to try to get everybody to do this year? Not what I wanted to do, but what I believe God has us to do. To be actively involved. To be actively involved in the ministry God's given us here at Open Door Independent Baptist Church. You don't know this, but I do. Jesus Christ is coming soon. And it's sooner than you can ever imagine. And we've got just a short opportunity, just a few more days until Christ comes to get something done for Jesus. And my friend, I want to get all I can done for Jesus. He saved my worthy soul. And my friend, He gave me a wonderful place called heaven to go to. And the best, and all I can do, the best I can do is just live every day for Him till He comes. What is our ministry here? Beloved, what has God given us to do here? You say, well, God's given us a food pantry to feed the poor. Well, that's good. That's pretty good, but that's not what God has called us to do. You say, well, we do this. We have the fall festival. We have the spring festivals. Why do we have those things? Why does me and my wife and other members of the church rack our brains and break our backs just to have a fun day for the children and have a fun day for the adults? Well, it's all good and fun, but that's not the reason why. What's our ministry here? What is our purpose? Why has God allowed us to erect a church, to have a church, to have a place to come to have a place where you can put your name on the membership and say, hey, I'm part of Open Door Independent Baptist Church, and this is what God has given us to do. What has God given us to do? Brother David Harrelson, he knows what God's given him to do. And his family is right there part of it. God hasn't called him to be part of the Rock of Ages prison ministry and leave his family to the side. He called all of them. And they should be praying for the daddy and praying for the husband and praying for the ministry and praying for what God has called them to do. We talked to a missionary. We just took him on, Brother Herman Rutledge. And we took him out to eat. And I asked Brother Rutledge, I said, Brother, let me ask you something. You're going to Thailand. Why? He gave us all these stories about these young boys who's starving, who's begging for food, who don't have any clothes to wear, who don't have a house to go to. He gave us all these sad stories about these families who's on the verge of dying because they don't have any food to eat. I said, Brother, why are you going to Thailand? He said, because that's where God wants me. He didn't say because of the people. Your burden for people run out. Your burden and your desire to see people saved will be gone one day if you just do it for them. But if you do it because that's where God called you, where that's where God placed you, you'll stick and you'll stay. And I appreciate what he said. Beloved, what's our ministry here? What's our job here? We're approaching a new year. And my friend, some things is going to change in 2011. It's not going to be the same as it always has been. Don't get worried. Don't get scared. It's going to be all right. I'm going to try to follow the leadership of the Lord. I'm going to try to let God direct and let God guide and let God, my friend, divide where dividing needs to be done. But what's our ministry here? What am I going to give my life for? What should you give your life for? Look what the Bible says here. It's very simple tonight. It says here in verse 11, and he gave some apostles. We know an apostle is one that was sent by God. Now, the day and age we're living in, we don't have apostles. But we do have people who are sent by God to do a specific thing, to do something that God has called them to do. So an apostle is one that is sent by the Lord. He said, I gave some apostles and some prophets. And we know what a prophet is. A prophet was one that was foretelling God's word. God would give him a revelation. God would illuminate his heart and mind. He would tell others what God has spoken to him about. We don't have prophets, so-called. like we have in the Bible where they foretell God's word, but we do have people who foretell God's word. Tonight I'm standing up here and preaching what God has already written down, what God has already said to the church. So we have apostles, we have prophets, and some evangelists. We know what evangelist is. I believe Philip was an evangelist. He went out preaching, teaching the word of God to get people saved. Well, he's a witness for Christ. In that sense, all of us is a witness for Christ. Or we should be. The Bible says, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost had come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. To be a witness, you have to know what's going on. You have to be a witness of what took place so you can witness to others. And he said that some will be an evangelist, and some pastors and teachers. Some believe these go together, some believe they separate. But God has given us a pastor, our leader in the church. And God has given us teachers, examples, and leaders of the church to help out the pastor. You know, Brother David's only two positions in the church. Either you're the pastor of the church, or you're helping the pastor of the church. If you're not either one, you need to be one. If you're not the pastor, you need to help the pastor. We was talking to a lady the other day, and she told me what was going on in the church. You know what she told me when I left out? She said, would you please pray for us? We're in a mess. And I told her, I said, Miss, I called her by name. I said, we might not can help you, but we won't hurt you. We won't gossip about you. We won't run your church down, but we will pray for you. And I'm praying for them. I've got family members in that church. I'm praying for them, praying that God would help them. My friend, they might not help us, but they don't have to hurt us. We might not can help them, but we sure don't have to hurt them. We sure don't have to gossip and run them down and run them into the dirt, my friend. Hey, the Bible says that he gave us some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Notice what it says in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Tonight, what is our ministry here at Open Door? If someone asks you this question, I want you to be able to tell them. If someone comes to you on the street and say, what do y'all do at Open Door? What do you do? Why do you go to church? A dear brother, years ago, he said, he told us, he said, I don't have any idea why people go to church. If I ask you that question, why do you come to church? What would you say? Just because it's a routine? Because mama and daddy and grandmama and granddaddy done it? Or just because I don't want people talking about me? Why do we come to church? Why do we have a ministry? What should be going on at Open Door Independent Baptist Church? Let me give you four things real quick. They're all in one verse, in verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. It says in verse 12, for the work of the ministry. It says, till we all, in verse 13, coming to the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith. Why do we come to church? We come to church to hear the word of God, to go out of these four walls and witness to someone to get them saved. Boy, it's a glorious day. It's a great day. It's a blessed day when somebody, some sinner, some lost person comes to church and gets saved on Sunday morning, gets saved on Sunday evening, or gets saved on Wednesday evening. Boy, that's a great thing. But that's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to get fed in God's house and leave the house of God and go into the highways and hedges and tell other people about Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to invite people, the lost people, to the church, and I encourage you to do that. On Sunday morning, we preach an evangelistic message. We preach a message about the cross, about the blood, about sin, about salvation, to try to get people saved. But my friend, you have to realize, it's not only up to the pastor to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's up to everyone who has prayed a prayer, who has received Christ into the heart, who has been born again. You know you're redeemed. You know you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's your God-given responsibility to tell others about Him. Tell others about Him. The Bible says here, till we all come into the unity of the faith. You realize we have people here on Sunday mornings who's not saved. who needs to be saved? You realize we have people on Sunday night who comes to church who's not saved? The Christmas Eve, the Christmas Sunday we had, there's more people here lost that Sunday evening than there was people that were saved. And after the Christmas play, I was able to give invitation and call out to people. A lady over here on the third pew, about right in the middle of the pew, she raised her hand and said, "Pastor, I need to be saved." So I was able to pray with her and lead her to the Lord. Talk to her after the service. And boy, that was a blessing. My friend, it's great when anybody gets saved. But it's just not supposed to take place in the church. It's supposed to take place outside the church. We're supposed to get out of our homes and knock on someone's door and have a face-to-face confrontation with them, give them a gospel tract, and tell them about Jesus Christ. And Brother David, it takes some guts. It takes courage. It takes a little bit of boldness to go to someone's house and tell them about Jesus. What is the ministry of Open Door? The ministry of Open Door is to get people saved, to lead people to Christ, to get them into God's family. Notice what the Bible says in verse 13. "Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." Beloved, when people get saved, it does not stop there. That's only the beginning. And if we supposed to encourage them to, when you get saved, to read your Bible, to pray, to get baptized, to join the church, to do what we're doing, we're supposed to teach them the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why do we have Sunday school rooms? Why do we have Sunday school teachers? Why do we have a time set apart on Sunday morning where we have about 30 to 45 minutes where you get in there, you take God's Word, you open God's Word, and you teach a Bible verse, you teach a Bible word, you teach about a Bible character, a Bible truth, you teach something that's going to help someone out. What's the ministry of Open Door? To teach people, to get people saved, and to teach them God's Word. To get people saved, to teach them God's Word. To lead people to Christ, and then tell them and teach them God's Word. What's the ministry of Open Door? It's to get people saved and to teach them God's Word. Notice what else the Bible says. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man." Wives, how many of you got a perfect man? Nobody. Nobody. You're too slow. Put your hands down. Nobody ain't got a perfect man. So why does the Bible say that we should have church, have a place to come to, till everybody come into the unity of faith, until everybody understands and know God's Word, to be a perfect man? What is a perfect man? A perfect man is a spiritually mature person. I want you to understand this. Any one of us who is saved can make a spiritual decision any time of the day. My friend, every once in a while, a blind squirrel will find a nut. Every once in a while, a spiritual person, every once in a while, one that is saved, they might be as carnal as the devil, but they can make a spiritual decision that's right with God. So what does it mean to be a perfect man? It means to be a spiritually mature man every day of the week and make the right spiritual decisions upon the Word of God. Someone offers you a better job, say, "Hey, it must be God's will, it's more money." That's what any carnal person would do. Or you could say, "Let me pray about it, see what God wants me to do." I remember a person come up to me, and he's a good man. He said, "Brother David Harrelson," he said, "Preacher, I got a way you can make $400 a week." My eyes lit up. I said, "What is it?" He says, "Just sell insurance." He gave me this plan, this program, this foolproof thing. He said, "Brother Jeff, if you go down every step and you knock on so many doors a day, you knock on so many doors, so many houses a week, you can sell so many insurance policies and make $400 a week." I said, "Let me pray about it." When I go to someone's door, I don't want them to see Scott Bass, the insurance salesman. I want to see Scott Bass, the pastor of Open Door Independent Baptist Church. How $400 a week? Useful? Needful? Yeah. But my friend, I'm trying to be spiritually mature. I'm trying to find out God's will for my life. The Bible says here, "Till we all come into the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man." And notice the last part here, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." What is our ministry? At Open Door Independent Baptist Church. Is it just a place to come to? Is it just another church where we come and some man yells and spits and screams and shouts? Is it just some building we come to and we have our names on the roll? What is our ministry at Open Door? It's to get people saved, to teach them the Word of God, so they can be spiritually mature. And then the Bible says to have the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, to measure up, to meet the same stature that Christ has. Now, beloved, we can't be Jesus. And there's no way we can compare to Him. He lived a perfect, sinless life. How many people has never told a lie? Raise your hand. Oh, y'all boys in trouble now. We know the truth now. Y'all have lied. But I've got news for you. Mom and Daddy has. The pastor up here has. Everybody else in this building has. So we can't be just like Jesus. But every day we can strive to be closer to Him and be more like Him. I can't remember exactly how the poem goes, but it says, "Walk a little plainer, Daddy," the young girl said. "I'm following your footsteps, so walk a little plainer. Walk a little, just walk so I can follow your steps." Hey, Christ has already walked and laid down some guidelines and laid down the rules for our life. It's in a straight line, beloved. You don't have to guess. You don't have to assume. Christ has given us all we need to live for Him. And all He wants us to do, my friend, is to realize the ministry God's given us. It consists more of these four walls than this carpet. Now, I love the church building. Well, I come over here and check everything and spend time over here. My wife will call and say, "What time are you coming home?" And buy things for the church and try to fix things up for the church and check all the songbook holders and just try to keep everything nice and clean. I believe God's house should be clean, don't you? I believe all the trash should be picked up. I believe the songbook shouldn't be scribbled in. I believe God's stuff should be better than my stuff, don't you? But our ministry consists more of these four walls and this carpet and this ceiling. Our ministry, what God has given us to do, consists of people out there in the world who's lost and dying and going to hell unless we'll do something about it. The Bible says to bring them into the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man. And this measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hey, beloved, God's given us something to do here. And we don't need to stop until we get it done. He says, till all these things happens, until all these things takes place, keep on going. Keep on going. I'm going to tell you this. I've looked back on 2010, and I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of what I've done. I'm ashamed of what this church has done. We've done some good things. We've had some good programs. We've had some good days. But how many people have we seen saved? Oh, we've seen people make a profession of faith. We've seen people come to this altar and cry crocodile tears and go back home and never come to church again. We've seen that. We've seen people come to church and their families get restored, and as soon as everything's all right in the house, they leave and never come back to the church again until they need something. I look at my own life. What have I done in 2010? I thought about the message over there when the prophet said, "I'm going to give you 15 more years to live." What if God gives us another year? Is it going to amount to the same thing as this year? My friend, what's the ministry of the church? Just to put on some good programs? Just to have some big days, just three or four big days a year? The ministry of our church is to get people saved, to teach them the Word of God, so they can make a spiritual decision, be spiritually mature every day of the week, and to measure up to the stature of Christ. It's not just to come and have the choir to sing and have a special song sung and take an offering to see how much we get in a pot. It's not just to come and see how many people we have on Sunday mornings, but I'd love to have more. I'd love to fill this church up. But that's not what it's all about. What is it all about? It's about getting people saved. And realizing that it doesn't stop there. It goes on from there, teaching them God's Word. Brother David Harrelson goes to prisons. You get people saved. You lead them to Christ. They also give out Bibles. He gives out brochures, gives out pamphlets, gives them anything that would help them in their Christian lives. And goes back and visits with them and talks with them and helps them. Watch the ministry of Open Door. What are you going to have a part in next year, 2011? What is the pastor? What is Brother Jeff, the other preacher in the church? What is the deacon, Brother Jim, and the trustees and the ushers and the Sunday school teachers and the children's church workers and the bus captain drivers and all the members of Open Door? What are we going to try to do next year? Just show up? Show off and show our faces? Or are we going to try to lead someone to the Lord? Get them saved. Get them in the family of God. Get them baptized. Get them to join this church so they can put their influence here where God wants them to be. I told the lady the other day that was having problems in the church, I'm not much for one to try to apostolate someone else. I'm not much for one to realize that somebody's having problems in church and automatically go to them and say, hey, if you got problems in your church, you need to come to ours. I don't try to do that junk. And I don't like it when people do it with our church. When people find another church and say, hey, it's really happening over here. We've got some good singers and the preacher don't preach long and he preaches about everybody so good and God loves everybody. And won't you just come and leave your church on Sunday morning and come to our church because it's really going on over here. I really don't like that. And I don't try to do that. And I told this woman, I said, I'm not trying to get you to come to our church. I said, well, we'll welcome you, but we're not trying to get you to come to our church. I said, but you don't need to be a part of a church that's dead and that's going to kill your Christian life. And she said, I understand. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. If we don't be part of the ministry, if we don't get going, we're going to end up dead. Dried up on the stalk. And good for nothing. God's given us something to do, folks. You know what you do with a dog that don't bark? What do, Robert? Shoot him. What do you do with a frying pan that your food sticks to the bottom of it? Throw it away. What do you do with a refrigerator that don't cool food? Get rid of it. What does God do with members who's not part of the ministry? Beloved, we got a ministry here. The ministry is to tell others about Christ, to teach them the Word of God, to help them to become a perfect man, to have them measure up who Christ wants them to be. God's given us a ministry, and we need to be part of it. Beloved, you pray for me. I pray for you that we do all that God wants us to do for next year. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, I just stood up here and just talked and showed them some Bible verses. Lord, the Holy Spirit of God can take these Bible verses tonight and grip our hearts with them and show them that. God, we've got a ministry here. We've got something that God has called us to do. And it's not just to show up and stay for a certain period of time and then go back home. But God, you saved us and placed us into the ministry so we can do the job that you've left to be done. Lord, I pray you'll help me as the pastor, as a preacher, as a Christian, to be involved, to get going, to occupy. Lord, I pray for our missionaries, our deacons, our trustees, our Sunday school teachers, our children's church workers, the choir leader, the choir singers. I pray for every member of the church, Father, that you help us to give ourselves to the ministry here at Open Door. And it won't be just a church. It won't be just a building. But God, it'll be a place where we come to worship thee in spirit and truth. And Father, we've got a bunch of good people who's coming to this church. who I would love to be part of this church. And I pray, Father, you'll place in their hearts to take the next step. Lord, help them to trust in you to be baptized. Lord, help them to trust in you to get their marriage right. Lord, help them to trust in you to get their lives right so they can place their influence here where God wants them to be. Father, I pray you'll help us this year that's approaching to be part of the ministry, be part of what God has given us to do. And I thank you that we can be part of it. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. The invitation begins tonight. You say, Pastor, what do you want to do? I want to do what God wants us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. I'd love to have big offerings. That'd be wonderful. I'd love to have a big congregation. That'd be great. I love to have a lot of those yellow school buses to go out and pick up boys and girls and bring them to church. I love to have a school, a college, and be in every rest home, every public school. I love to have a daycare. I like to have all those things here at this church. But the greatest thing we can have is to be in the perfect will of God, to have what God wants us to have. Part of the ministry. We're playing the song tonight.